This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you. Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Alex Smith has announced his retirement from the NFL. An interesting legacy. Look, we're not going to be talking about a Hall of Fame legacy like we did with Julian Edelman, but it's very interesting. His career from number one overall pick to NFL Comeback Player of the Year and all the stuff in between. Doing it really in a way that you don't see a lot of players do in this league. Accepting certain things that other players wouldn't accept. Taking roles that other players would just dismiss. Alex Smith has a somewhat complicated legacy when you look at his entire 16 years as a quarterback in this league, including a couple where he wasn't playing because of his gruesome leg injury. We're going to get to that during the show today. Also, the Atlanta Falcons hold the fourth pick in the draft, and now everybody's looking at them going, you know what? The draft may really start here. Atlanta holding the key to some sort of how the draft may look because they're not really interested in a quarterback. Well, what exactly would you do with the fourth pick if you weren't looking for a quarterback and other teams would? We'll talk about that on the show today as well. And also, if you haven't been paying much attention to what's been going on in the NBA, you're missing a scoring barrage from Steph Curry, who scored 49 last night against Philadelphia. He has been on an absolute tear, and Golden State, with his help, obviously, are starting to win a lot of games. We'll look at their playoff chances and what this historic run is for Steph Curry, and is it something to worry about in a playoff where one guy and one method of scoring doesn't always worry teams, but should Golden State be a factor if they do get into a play-in situation or even climbing up the ladder in the Western Conference? We'll talk about that as well. But coming up, Alex Smith, again, who announced his retirement from the NFL. He came out of Utah after an undefeated season in the last year that Urban Meyer was the head coach of the Utes before going on to Florida. 16 years. Teams that won Super Bowl went to Super Bowls without him, but probably remembered for what just recently occurred in his career. We'll talk about the legacy of Alex Smith's NFL career coming up next on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Sports Map Radio. It's Wake Up Call. Earn a $5 rebate by trading up any non-contact thermometer towards an Exergen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters when it comes to taking your temperature. And Exergen temporal artery thermometers are backed by more than 80 published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Visit Exergen.com. All right, so Alex Smith announcing his retirement, 16 years in the NFL. And as I said earlier, look, this is not the same when Julian Edelman retired and people were wondering about a Hall of Fame. That's not where Alex Smith's legacy is going. But it is interesting. The number one overall pick in 2005 by San Francisco. It's kind of complicated if you think about it. He obviously winning the NFL Comeback Player of the Year was probably one of the more heartwarming stories or just absolutely great stories in all of sports. What he went through in 2018 with a bone coming out of his leg, could have killed him, could have lost his leg. No chance, right, of ever playing football again. And yet he found a way to get back on the football field in a sport that does not do charity, right? That's, you have to emphasize that. Sometimes like a baseball team will be like, we'll give him an at-bat, you know, to say goodbye. But there is no room to sign a guy, to keep a guy on a roster who is just doing it because it's a good story. The NFL just doesn't have time for that. It just moves on, right? Ryan Shazier is not going to go out to play one play for the Steelers after being, you know, nearly paralyzed on an impact. Alex Smith was not on the Redskins by a charity case. He actually could continue to play. He actually had the physical ability to play and did so and won games. So it's funny because the I'm on a lot of Steelers kind of blogs and whatnot as a Steelers fan, and I thought the fan base in Pittsburgh were getting a little crazy when they started saying that Ben Roethlisberger, who missed almost all of 2019, should be comeback player of the year after the Steelers started 11-0. And I thought, yeah, I get it from a football sense, but Alex Smith nearly died. Like, there's no other way to define comeback. Like, there's no bigger comeback player than a guy who suffered such a leg injury that nearly killed him. Like, and I'm not saying that like with little sarcasm or hyperbole. Like, it nearly killed him, and he came back to play and won games for a team that made the playoffs. But you also think about this: he played for two teams that found a way to get to Super Bowls without him. San Francisco, that drafted him number one overall. He was injured. He lost his job to Colin Kaepernick, who eventually led the 49ers to the Super Bowl. And then Jimmy Garoppolo later led the 49ers to a Super Bowl. And then he went to Kansas City, where he got the team into the playoffs. But they have drafted Patrick Mahomes to specifically take his job. He did so, and then he led them to two Super Bowls. And Smith did something that you just don't see in the NFL. He accepted those roles. He accepted the cards that were dealt to him. And he made the most out of whatever life and karma was going to come his way. He continually helped the 49ers in the growth of Kaepernick on the sidelines, doing, you know, injured guy, knowing that the team was going to go in this direction. He could read the tea leaves. He kind of knew where the 49ers were going, and helped anyway. And decided that if this is where they're going to go, I'm going to be part of whatever I have to do to get this team going forward. And he did the exact same thing with Patrick Mahomes. Now, look, for some of you out there, it may not be a big surprise, right? He seems like a good guy. Why not help? This just is something players don't do. It is a cutthroat business. It really is. There's no reason to help somebody that is taking your job. It just doesn't exist. We as fans sort of think that players are super fans of the team they play for, and they would want nothing more in life than for that particular team to win and continue to win, even if it means they're unemployed. That is absolutely not true. Players are professional athletes. They collect a check to do a job, and when that relationship is over, most of them couldn't care less where the organization is going. Oh, sure, there are some that are loyal to the team because maybe they took a chance on them, signed me as an undrafted free agent, or drafted me when no one else did, and I've got a level of loyalty to the organization. I like the owner. Yeah, you'll find those stories, you know, sprinkled throughout the league, but for the most part, these guys go back to their homes, back to their hometowns, wherever they're from, and that's it. Done. If you're done with me, I'm done with you. I'm not interested in developing the player that is going to lead you to future glory. And yet Alex Smith could read the writing on the wall in Kansas City, knowing that Patrick Mahomes was the future. They moved up in the draft to get him. And Alex Smith had to sit back and go, all right, well, I guess getting you to the postseason is not enough. There's another way you want to go. And I will help this kid help you get there. That is something that you just don't see players do. I mean, did people in Green Bay really think, for example, that Aaron Rodgers was going to put his arms around Jordan Love and go, when you take over my job, here's the things you need to do to prepare yourself? Not likely. But Alex Smith did, knowing his time at both of those organizations was ticking. But they weren't going to keep him around. And he got traded twice. And so it's a complicated legacy from the standpoint of a long career, didn't become the man in this league when you're the number one overall pick. You're the number one overall pick. Super Bowls are supposed to be somewhere in your future at some point. But he won games. He didn't turn the ball over a lot. I mean, the Redskins, when he played, were the Redskins, were 11-5 when he played. It's remarkable that it's a guy that just found ways to win. He just didn't win enough. And he wasn't the kind of quarterback that two franchises could see being their future. They weren't committed to growth with him at that position. Alex Smith was a good quarterback, but he never was so good that you could think about taking him to where you want to go. There was always somebody else who was just a little bit better or just had more skill at that position that the 49ers and the Chiefs decided they needed to find somebody else. Now, the Kaepernick train was probably too big at the time for anybody to survive, right? I mean, you would have to be a Hall of Fame level quarterback to sort of take that job back from where Kaepernick was. Kaepernick, if you remember Kaepernick before the kneeling and the controversy and all of the angst at him for all of that, Kaepernick was one of the most exciting players the NFL had had in a long time at that position.
Yeah, it was one 75-yard touchdown run or something like that.
I mean, it was just insane. He was so fast, quick, could throw, and could win, and was exciting to watch. And I don't care if you had pumped Alex Smith with maybe 2 or 3 degrees better, increased his talent level like a video game where he got a little like more talent points. If you could do that to Smith, he still would not have been able to overcome the Kaepernick hype. I mean, that machine was moving along pretty good.
Now I know the argument for Alex Smith getting into the Hall of Fame is probably very, very quiet. Well, what about his leg brace?
The leg brace should.
Should get in there, right?
I think it's one of the most. I can't remember a story like it.
Neither could I.
I mean, like I said, I see sometimes I could see in another sport in another way where finances aren't so stringent and tight that a baseball team could bring back a guy with a serious injury to take a couple of at bats, right? But I can't see an NFL team keeping a quarterback on a roster just because it'd be cool if he could play one snap.
Right. And that's all we were looking for last year. Yeah. We just wanted him to get in the game and just take a snap. And then, God, he led the Washington football team, about to say, the R word, Washington football team to the playoffs. Couldn't play. I wish he would have had that opportunity to play in it, though.
Exactly. And here's the other thing. So much so that even in this offseason, there was all this kind of buzz about him possibly joining Jacksonville with his old coach, Urban Meyer. And because he had shown the ability to teach young quarterbacks, to mentor young quarterbacks, mentor Trevor Lawrence. Right. But again, if I'm Alex Smith, I probably look at this and go, you know what? I did exactly, like, there's nothing else left. Right. I suffered this injury. I've been in this league 16 years. It's not like he's being robbed of years of his career. 16 years is a long time to be making money in this league. I think he proved it. I mean, he wanted to come back. He did come back. He was effective when he did. And that's it. That's all you need to do. That's enough. And go on to do whatever it is that you want to do. Tell your stories. Tell your injury story, your comeback story. And I don't know. I think he could have a good book. Don't you think?
Oh yeah.
If he wrote a book, I think it would be an outstanding read. I mean,
if he writes a book, if he has a ghostwriter write the book, the point is, it's a Disney movie about 4 or 5 years from now.
Yeah, exactly. I think from the standpoint of what he was thinking about in San Francisco when Colin Kaepernick was becoming a megastar, not just a star, a megastar, and kind of feeling like, okay, I think this is it. And then in Kansas City, I think Kansas City is probably the more complex part of his career. He was leading the Chiefs to the playoffs. I mean, he wasn't struggling as a quarterback there. He wasn't like, oh my God, why are we going 3-13 with this guy? This guy, all he does is throw 50 picks a year. He wasn't that player. He was winning enough games to get them to the postseason. They just couldn't advance. And then the Chiefs see this quarterback out of Texas Tech and go, hey, wait. I think we got something. I think there's something here. I think there's a star here, and nobody else is noticing it. Let's get him here. And they move up to draft him. Got a C-plus grade. Got a C-plus grade from people. How could you draft Patrick Mahomes? This kid is just, who knows? This is such a gamble. And you've got Alex Smith. I would love a book where Smith talks about what that was like to see that happen. To realize, wait, you're doing what? You're drafting who? And then still saying, all right, well, if teaching this kid how to be a quarterback is what God wants me to do, I'll do it. I'd love a book about those 3 periods of his career to talk about the kind of adversity he's gone through, from seeing something in San Francisco that he couldn't stop to seeing the team not believe in him enough that they gambled to take a kid that became the face of the franchise and face of the league, to suffering a horrific injury, nearly dying, and deciding, I'm going to go back to that thing. It's, I would love to read his story.
No, it's that's why I said it. I mean, it's tailor-made for a Disney movie. It's, you know, one of those inspirational stories that doesn't come around.
Let me back it up a little bit. A Disney movie, yes, from just the, look at, I'm talking about the complexities of being a professional athlete and having a team.
I'm using that term loosely. I'm not saying,
you know what I mean? I'm not looking for the G-rated version.
No. I'm not either.
He must have had nights where he said, what the hell is happening to me?
It has to be that Disney offshoot that they use to put out adult themed movies, like Buena Vista Pictures or Touchstone or whatever it was. It has to be on that.
Was he really happy on draft day that they picked Patrick Mahomes? Was he really like, whatever, it's awesome? He must have told his wife, you got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me.
All right, instead of Disney movie.
I want to know behind those kind of things.
Instead of Disney movie, how many part 30 for 30s do we need?
Kind of similar to that, yeah.
We need at least three, right?
The real versions of what was going on to this guy's career. To lose his job twice, to get traded twice.
Yeah.
And then to do what he did in Washington, coming back. It's fantastic. All right, coming up next, we'll talk some NFL, more on the draft, the Atlanta Falcons with the fourth pick. What would you do if you were Atlanta? Would you sit back and just wait for the phone to ring? That's coming up as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for their spring break deals on lawn and garden batteries, tools, brake kits, and more. Kick off the season right with fresh batteries for your lawn and garden gear. For a limited time, purchase any Superstart lawn and garden battery. Get a $10 gift card after mail-in rebate. Don't miss out on the savings. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, continuing with the on with the NFL with the draft coming up next week. Look, we're getting a feeling like the first three picks will all be quarterbacks, and it's probably going to happen that way with Trevor Lawrence going number one, Zach Wilson, and then whoever the 49ers seem to like today, all right, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, whoever. But then Atlanta Falcons are sitting at four. And if you're the Atlanta Falcons, what would you do it for? Why would you pick anybody? You don't seem to have to. If there's a quarterback on the board, sit back and wait for the phone calls to start pouring in.
Is it the most favorable draft position in NFL draft history?
Yeah, because, listen, the cool thing about this, and this has been broken down by all the kind of the draft analysts out there who are saying, look, there's a big, always, we do this every year with the draft, right, with NFL teams. Do you draft the best player available, or do you draft for need? Right. And there is no definitive answer here. You have people who say always draft need. And then you have all people say that's insane. If you have an impact player, even if you have that position pretty much well covered, you can't turn down a sort of generational talent at running back, left tackle, wide receiver, whatever the position may be. You have to take them. But that's not really how it goes, because we've seen teams go, no, I'm sorry, I don't need a quarterback. I'm sorry, I just don't. Why would I waste my pick on a quarterback, even though one that's been highly graded is available? I don't need that. I got a lot of money tied up in the guy that's behind, you know, under center right now. If you're Atlanta, what do you need? Defense. That's one of the reasons Dan Quinn got fired, because defensively they were terrible. And Quinn's a defensive guy. He's now on the Dallas Cowboys staff. They need defense, but there's no defensive player that is on the board that is worthy of the number four overall pick. So you're not going to take a defensive player that you could get at 20 and move them up to four. That's insane, right? Why not sit back and say, well, who needs a quarterback? Because there's another one available. And if you need a quarterback, we're willing to talk.
All right, question for you, though.
Yes.
Is Kyle Pitts too enticing at four?
Well, that's the thing, right? That's the good question. If you're Atlanta and you're all set offensively, Hayden Hurst is coming in, do you say to yourself, well, Kyle Pitts is still too good of a tight end, we could use a guy like that? Or do you say, yeah, but all of the offensive weapons that we have are nothing if we can't stop anybody from scoring? Defensively, we've got to start rebuilding this team.
I mean, I know they're going to get offers, especially on draft day.
Yeah.
Once they see the first three go, whoever Niners take, maybe they take all three. I don't know. You know, maybe they find a way to like, we just want to take Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones.
Right, sure. Yeah, because it's every day there's a new article about who they like now. I mean, it's either two things are happening with those, by the way. Either all of these people are writing their version of who the Niners like, or the Niners are just sending signals to everybody in all different directions and scattering everybody to the wind.
Make them keep guessing.
Yeah, here you go. Mac Jones looks good to this group of reporters. Justin Fields look good to these group of reporters. Trey Lance looks good to that group. Just spreading it all out, figuring it out later.
It's so bizarre. I don't know. I don't remember a time where there was a team at that high that just kept cycling through all these different players. And every single day it feels like, oh, you know what? It's Trey Lance's day. And also at the same time, I mean, maybe it's because of the pandemic and there was no combine. I don't remember this many pro days.
Yeah, that's true.
Where everyone's saying, well, you know, the first pro day I rocked at it. I got to throw a second one out there now.
Yeah, exactly. Because combine usually takes care of most of that.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, okay, go to the combine, do all the drills there. And then I may have a pro day just to isolate me from the rest of the pack where it's the attention is just going to be on me. But I don't need two. You know, I don't need to do two of them.
But you know, all three of these quarterbacks that are in question of are doing their second pro days.
I would love to see what the odds are of Atlanta actually picking fourth, like actually putting a card into the hands of the commissioner and actually making a selection.
Because the one thing I can't see, but I keep seeing it pop up, is them doing a trade with the Patriots.
Yeah, now that's been buzzing too, right? New England is you know, the reports are that New England wants to move up, right? And they've got some assets to trade.
Yeah. But can the Falcons do it? Would Falcon fan allow that to happen?
I know, right? Then what am I helping that team? You know what's funny though? You brought up Kyle Pitts, and the one thing, and again, I know it's a general manager, coach, even an owner, everybody has a piece of that selection. Everybody has a piece and an input. But man, if you're Arthur Smith and you know you're an offensive guy and Kyle Pitts is sitting there and you probably have envisioned 7,500 different ways to use Kyle Pitts with Matt Ryan in that offense, it would probably be really hard to turn down. And again, it depends on where you want to fall back to, but you know, I doubt Pitts would be available by anybody unless it's a quick swap going up, maybe the team going up two places or three places.
Yeah. Pitts isn't going to escape the top 10. He'll be snatched up by somebody.
Not at all. Dallas would take him in a heartbeat.
Bengals might say, you know, we'll find an offensive lineman in the second round. We're just going to take Pitts.
And Pitts is that good.
Yeah. I mean, that instantly gives Joe Burrow the weapon that he needs.
Oh, without question. Without question. But, again, this was such a bad football team on the defensive side of the ball last year. I got to think even Arthur Smith, as offensive minded as he is going to go, all right, look, I'm the head coach here. I'm not the offensive coordinator. I've got to help build this complete team if we're going to be competitive. But sit back and enjoy. I mean, Penny Sewell is, you know, the top offensive lineman. And even then they don't necessarily need that.
No.
Right. I mean, they've already got some resources available there.
No, so, I mean, it is defense, but God, if you can drop back, what the Patriots are like 14 or 15 or something like that.
Yeah.
If you can drop back there, you're going to get a good defensive player at the right price.
At the right price. That's the other thing. You don't take a guy that you can get at 15 and pick him at 4 because you're at 4. You don't. This is just what you do. You know, but be interesting to see who's on the other end of the telephone on draft day for the Atlanta Falcons for that fourth pick. Coming up, what the heck is Steph Curry doing in the NBA? Lighting it up and setting records. We'll talk about that next as we continue with Wake Up Call. Sports Map Radio.
Mm-hmm.
wake-up call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Spell it with two N's, please. You won't get it if you know. We'll get Steph Curry cleaning up the NBA. But before, clean up your messes with Tubba Towels. 10 by 12 heavy-duty cleaning wipes that breaks the bonds that hold dirt and grease on the surface. Cleans just about anything. You can use it on your car, leather, vinyl, metal, walls, floors, tiles, outdoor furniture. You know, they get messy. Grills, which are really, I just wiped down my grill with one the other day. Appliances, countertops, paint rollers, fabric, carpet, you name it. Permanent marker, inks, glues, wax, food, drink stains, all with Tubba Towels. They are proudly made in the USA and easy on the hands. So they're tough on dirt, but easy on the hands because they have aloe vera, vitamin E, and lanolin. Vapor lock lid snap shut, stays strong, tight seal, keeps those cleaning wipes moist. You can find them at O'Reilly, AutoZone, Napa, Advance, Pet Boys, Tub O Towels. Steph Curry is tearing up the NBA right now. Tearing it up. This is insane. Had 49 points, 20 in the fourth quarter, in their win against Philadelphia last night. Get this, I didn't know. I'm always fascinated by like the Elias Sports Bureau and these statistical places that find records. Like, here's a record that he broke last night. He became the first player in NBA history, age 33 or older, to score 30 or more points in 11 straight games. That surpasses Kobe Bryant, who did that in December of 2002. I'm just curious here. How did they do that? Like, why would that be a statistical category? An NBA player, why 33? Is that some sort of magical age? Are we doing this for every age? Like, can I find the streak of 30 or more points for somebody who's 27 or older? Or 30 or older? How about 40? Has anybody done anything over 40 in this league? But anyway, that's the legacy so far. I don't know if this seems right, though. Correct me if I'm wrong here. How old was Kobe Bryant when he passed away in that helicopter accident? Was he, what, 43? Something like
yeah,
that?
I think so.
Right? So this doesn't make any sense. He becomes the first player in NBA history, age 33 or older, to score 30 or more points in 11 straight games, passing Lakers legend Kobe Bryant, who scored at least 30 in 10 straight in December of 2002. 2002 was nearly 20 years ago. Right? And if Kobe Bryant was 33 then, he would have died at like 51. That's not how old he was.
So no, he was 42.
Right. So when Kobe did that, he was still in his 20s.
Yeah. Maybe it's 2012.
Maybe so. Maybe it was a mistype. Maybe. So this doesn't make a lot of sense. But nevertheless, he's over 33 and he's scoring a tremendous amount
right.
of points.
Well, you want to hear this is a staggering stat. This is for April, the month of April, 10 games. He's averaging almost nearly 41 points per game and hitting over 7 threes per game.
I know. It's insane. This is a guy.
For the entire month.
This is a guy that's just like, you know what? I'm chucking it. I'm just scoring.
He found that shot again. I mean, yep. It almost seems like it was dormant for a long. It's like a volcano.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It was
right.
Just dormant for so long, and then all of a sudden it just comes back out, and you're like, well, yeah, we remember this, Steph.
And the great thing about it is Steve Kerr is like, look, I've seen, you know, I've been with Michael Jordan. I played with Michael Jordan. I've seen Kobe do his thing. He's still amazed. He's more amazed at this than anything he's seen those legends do. I mean, he's knocking down everything he sees. He has 54 three-pointers in his last six games.
Yeah, he's got like that confidence, that swagger.
Right.
Where he's just like, you know, finding different spots on the floor. It's almost like, you know, you want to start putting dots out there. It's like, hey, Steph, shoot it from here.
Oh, I know. I know. It's just
and just draining it.
Scoring animal right now. And listen, Golden State right now is making a move towards the postseason. They're a 500 team, so they're not a great basketball team. They're just having this, you know, one megastar scoring a lot of points. But right now they're on the outside of the eighth seed. But as you know, there's this play-in tournament, and right now they're in that. So they're the nine seed tied with San Antonio. So you have Dallas, Memphis, Golden State, and San Antonio. Now, obviously, it's going to play out. There's only a handful of games separating those teams, so who knows how the stretch run is going to go. But, look, the NBA playoffs, you can handle one guy scoring a lot. Right? If you're a team, that's not scary. Like, the Celtics saw this with Michael Jordan all the time, right? When Michael Jordan scored all the points for the Bulls back in the 80s, the Celtics weren't worried about it. You know, they're like, Michael scored 63 once and they lost. It's when you team up with somebody else that's a threat, or when you have to pay more attention to other guys to make a threat. The Atlanta Hawks with Dominic Wilkins was a perfect example. No matter how good some of the other guys were, it was one-man show. And the Celtics weren't a one-man show. You know, the Celtics in the East and Detroit later were not a one-man show. And Chicago later were not a one-man show. And so that's what's going on with Golden State. So I don't know if people have gone a little overboard on the threatening the playoff run. They beat Philadelphia last night, but in a seven-game series, you would figure out a way to go, let them score everything, but nobody else is getting anything. And that's basically how you stop a team with one scoring threat. You just make sure nobody else chips in and get, like, he gets 48 and somebody else gets 32. That's not happening. But still, it's amazing to watch. Now, people are buzzing about his MVP candidacy. I can't give it to a guy whose team is 500. That's not happening. I'll go Joel Embiid before I go Steph Curry. This has been fun, and this is great, and this has been a phenomenal April. But unless he takes Golden State from a 9 seed to the 3 seed in the West in the next 6 weeks, I don't think we're gonna see him win this award. And this award is not, you know, this amazing period of time that he's torching the league for everything. But it's still worth attention, right? Because, one, he's Steph Curry. B, it's kind of disappointing the way Golden State, like, there was a period of time, even when you knew Durant was probably not likely to stay forever, there was still a feeling like, man, but when Klay Thompson's healthy and Draymond Green and Steph Curry, this team is still, even if Durant leaves, it's still capable of winning championships. And it's just been injury. They've had injuries and problems, but it's fun to see Curry back because he's such an exciting player and such an exciting story. When he started emerging to be a megastar, he kind of disappeared and the team kind of disappeared for a while. And now they're back in the news, and they've been back in the news. You're right. Like, every night, pretty much this month, he's been one of the lead stories. My daughter is a Golden State fan only because she was young and caught the wave and caught the bandwagon and was willing to jump on it quickly like some of her friends were. But she still follows them, and she's still always telling me, like, did you hear about Steph last night? Did you hear what he did last night? And I feel like I've had that conversation with her for 3 weeks. I mean, it's just been remarkable. And, you know, he keeps rolling along, knocking down threes. I saw this is how you know you're changing basketball, right? That you're part of a new culture that's changing basketball. I saw a column where the main argument was the NBA needs to move the three-point line. And I'm like, have you seen the corners? Have you seen where the basketball line is on the sidelines? They can't move it anymore. Like, it's right. There's only a few feet gap between the line. The only way you can do it is make it more of a sort of a parabolic arc, like extend the arc at the top, because they're saying it's just too easy now. The guys are just knocking down threes. Like, the other night, there was a team that had 24 three-pointers. 24! Like, that's where the game is going. Like, it used to be a specialist. I'm showing my age here, so please forgive me. They used to be a specialist that could hit threes, right? Like, you can just have everybody throw up three-pointers. You had maybe like two guys that could do it. And most of the time, one guy would be on the court. Now everybody's chucking them. 24. Teams are routinely putting up 40 attempts. Why not? If the game is moving in that direction. I'm not necessarily worried, because people are saying, well, you know, I mean, think about it. If a regular basket, if a slam dunk is worth 2 points, a three-pointer all the way back there is worth that plus 50%. Like, it should be worth more. I'm not concerned about that. I think it's fun. Either way, I'm good with it either way. I don't need to change. Why do we need to feel like we need to change things because things are getting too easy? Remember, we did this with extra points, right? The extra point was too easy. Let's back it up now. Like, let's move that back. I'm like, really? I remember complaining about it because I'm like, yeah, you know, even though I've been following the NFL my whole life and I know a touchdown is 6 points pending the extra point, I just automatically assumed it would be seven.
Yeah, I've gotten used to adding sevens. That's right? Actually, like, how I learned my sevens in elementary school.
That's exactly right. That's how I do my sevens timetable. I knew exactly what that was because of football, right? So if you're down seven and your team is driving and you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, and then they score, you're not like, hold on, everybody, wait for the kick. You just assumed they're going to make the extra point and we're tied. Or if the team is down six and they score, the moment it's in the end zone, you've just assumed you've won the game, right? Because the extra point was so automatic. Now they've backed it up where you're like, oh gosh, I got to sweat this out too. It's like, you know, it's like people are looking at the NBA and are like, how does a team score 24 three-pointers? We got to make it more difficult. Who says who? Why do you have to make it more difficult? What difference does it make? So what if Golden State beat Oklahoma City 147-109, nearly scored 150 points in regulation? So what? You know, big deal. I don't know how many three-pointers they got in that game, but they shot 51% from the three-point line. Right? Steph Curry, he made, I'm looking it up now, he made 11 of their 24. That's good. They put up 47 attempts. Don't extend the line. Don't make it more difficult. Just relax and enjoy the fun that is Steph Curry and Golden State.
Well, I mean, or, you know, maybe do the MTV rules. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
The five-point button.
Yeah.
If you really want to do something. I would hate that idea, too.
You know, I don't like messing with statistics, though. I just don't. I don't like it when sports changes so much that statistics become different and you have different eras and you have to, like, let's say you did that, like you extended the three-point line. You're just like, we're going to make it so hard, so you extend it. Okay. And then three-point shooting goes way down, or the percentages go way down. And then you start looking at maybe this era and going, well, what happened here? Like, how come people were hitting all these threes? Oh, it was much closer.
Ooh. And don't you think everything works in a pattern? Like,
yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, we had this, like, right now we're in the era of the rise of the threes.
Right.
And, you know, we don't really need big men anymore. But we'll come back to it.
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and you know, it's funny. People always say, you know, I remember when Portland drafted Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan and whatnot. You know, people, but at the time they needed a big man. At that time in the NBA, you needed a big man. And if you didn't have one, your chances of success was slim to none.
Yeah.
I mean, they had Clyde Drexler already. I mean, they didn't need.
It's just no one predicted that Jordan was going to turn into Jordan.
Right. And became the megastar. You would have to go, boy, well, he's a great player and he's fantastic and he's probably going to help a team. But right now, he can't help us. Because we could have him, but we ain't going to win without a big guy. And you needed one in the 80s. That was it. Now you're right. I mean, who wants to be a big man in the NBA these days? Unless you're a big man that can throw up threes. All right. on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along with the Wake Up Call. And this hour of Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. All right, yesterday we talked about this Super League soccer. It's getting everywhere. Everybody's talking about this.
It's fascinating to watch.
I saw James Corden.
Yes.
Talk about it on his night talk show.
Yeah, and now the big thing is UEFA and FIFA both decided that if any of these players for these club teams play in the Super League, they're done internationally.
Oh, man, that's great. Let's create some fireworks.
And now now there's rumors of two English Premier League teams that are pulling out. I think one of them might be Manchester United because there was a report that came out that their players felt blindsided. Because they had no idea this was going on.
So, you know, like, well, I think we talked about this yesterday. So there's no, like, collective bargaining agreement that a player could say, wait, you can't do that.
No.
It's not in the agreement.
No, there isn't. I mean, because there isn't, there isn't really, like, a traditional, like, what we see it, like, everyone has a salary cap or everyone, you know, it's just
no, I'm not talking about salary caps. I'm talking about rules of engagement. Like a player would play for an organization, like the Premier League or whatever organization. He would say, I need to know my, you know, I'm providing a service to you. You're providing me an opportunity for that service, but we're going to agree on certain legal things that you can and can't do with me. Like, you know, like you, like I play soccer for you. I don't have to paint the stadium just because you say so.
Well, I mean, that maybe that's written in their individual contracts, but I don't think there's a governing body that monitors.
So there's
no players union, right?
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Because I can't imagine like with these organizations saying they can't. I would assume if I'm a player, I'd go, well, I'm gonna take you to court on this. We're gonna find some international court.
Weird thing, and we've kind of gotten the feeling of that when we bid on players from Japan, where we have to pay the team.
Yeah.
To bid on the player.
That's interesting. What about the countries? Wouldn't the countries go, no, we are taking our best player to the World Cup. I don't know what, you know, because of this whole thing, we don't care.
I think that'll be part two or three of the story. I don't know. We haven't really seen that happen yet.
Probably true. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Thanks for joining us.